Hey everybody, I'm Joe. I have 25 years of dog training experience, and I am excited to share my knowledge and talk dogs. Let's get going.
Hey everybody, this is Rebecca with Dog Training 360, and I'm super psyched to talk every week with Joe, have great conversations, and talk everything dogs.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Dog Training 360, our online dog training platform. And here today, Rebecca and I are going to be talking very, very specifically about potty training a puppy and crate training a puppy. And it's kind of all goes hand in hand with, potty training and crate training. It's a great tool. So let's get into that. And we're going to get kind of into the deep things of how puppies think and some of the things and the questions that we get all the time of new puppy owners. So I first want to talk about the just some of the basic questions that people have with their puppies. Again, we're being very, very specific about puppies here. Is the size of the crate okay? What do I put in the crate? And is the kind of crate okay? And a lot of times people say, well, we have a crate and that it's a playpen. It's not necessarily a crate. Or they have an all wire crate, and it's the puppy's struggling in it. So let's first talk about the kinds of crates for puppies. I am a big, big, big fan of getting the plastic airline type crates. It's more den-like. It's safer feeling. It's not a cage. The wire ones are cages, and we have to cover them up anyway. And then the puppies tend to pull the blankets in or the covers in. And, you know, the wire ones have these nice covers over top, but the puppies end up really destroying it anyway. It's still a cage. The other thing is if your puppy has an accident in those, it's all over every little wire and outside of the crate. And it's not only all over the puppy, but it's all over everywhere. So I'm just not a fan of the wire crates. The crate isn't really a forever keep your dog in it all the time when you're gone thing. You want them crate trained so you can use the crate for the rest of their life. But, you know, it's not, you just don't get into, like, it looks cute and it looks nice, because the practical side of it is you want to be able to keep everything contained and clean it up. So that's why I'm just a big fan of the airline type plastic travel crates, not the wire crates. What do you put in it? I give them a bed, a blanket, a towel, you know, whatever you want, until they tell you otherwise. Basically, they chew it up, or, you know, they're peeing on it and then pooping and shoving it into a corner. So you take those things away. And I don't put toys, because I don't want to pull a noses off of toys and feeling like they have to be busy in the crate. So it's just, if you want to give them some comfort, something that's easy to clean up, I put just some towels in there initially until we get past the them having any accidents in the crate, because it's easier. So, Rebecca, how, as far as, you know, your puppies and having them in the crate, you know, what does that look like for you?
I just want to back up and clarify one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that you put whatever you want, bed or towel, in the crate until they tell you otherwise.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned pooping and peeing on, uh-huh, the thing or chewing. And I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
You mean that if the puppy tells you otherwise,
you
would take that out. In other words, we as dog trainers are not expecting at some point your puppy will go through the next stage of crate training where they tell you they don't want something in the crate.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to be clear for the listeners, if your puppy and or dog is fine and enjoys having a bed, mm-hmm, in their crate, by all means, leave it in the crate. They're not going to get to a stage where they suddenly start peeing on it and you know to take it out.
Yeah.
It's more just like, if during the stages of crate training they start peeing on it, then you take that yes. item out yes. so that you can clean their crate easily and they don't have something to pee on. And right. then at a later stage in their life, if they're fully crate trained and you feel like putting a bed in there, go for it.
Yes.
Put a bed in it there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. 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 Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So back to your question of yeah. crate training.
Yeah.
And you had asked about my yeah. personal experience with mm-hmm. my dogs. Yeah. I mean, first of all, just to throw in a plug for crates, like they're wonderful. And mm-hmm. my dogs now are about to turn 5 and going on 6 and a half,
yeah.
turning 7 in the summer. And we're on a big road trip right now,
yeah.
actually. We're traveling all the way across the country, the USA this time. We're not in Costa Rica anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're in crates in the back of my car, which is really safe in terms of both driving. And they're also like crash-tested crates. So if, God forbid, we get in mm-hmm. an accident,
yeah.
the dogs will be safe. And then we go to hotels, and it's just nice to have them in a crate in a hotel.
Yeah.
Both because the dogs don't are trained that if they're in their crate, they don't have to bark. It's not their job.
Right.
They're
right.
in their own little private den. And so when people are walking up and down the halls and opening the door next door, they don't bark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, especially with the German Shepherd, if she's out, she feels right. like it's her job to
yeah.
like keep guard. And she's more likely to bark. So plug for crates, long lasting. We don't use them all the time, like Joe said. A mm-hmm. lot of times the dogs are out when we're gone, but it's such a great tool to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long term. When we were crate training our puppies, it's interesting that they were totally different dogs.
Uh-huh.
The Border Terrier, for some reason that is still a little bit beyond me, took to it immediately. Like, he didn't cry once. He, the minute we put him in it, he seemed to know to relax.
Yeah.
And he never was a challenge to crate train.
Yeah.
The German Shepherd was kind of a nightmare mm-hmm. in the
yeah.
it was fleeting, which was good to have Joe's perspective that this too will pass, because it didn't feel like it would pass.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know, it probably lasted, I don't know, Joe, you were talking to me every day then. It probably lasted a week or
yeah,
something
yeah,
like that. It
yeah.
wasn't very long, but in
yeah.
the throes of it, it was miserable. And she was very vocal in
yeah,
the crate.
She was.
And so that's one of the things we really want to get into in this mm-hmm. podcast is, what is the psychology of that? Like,
yeah.
why do puppies cry in the crate? And what are our responses to that?
Mm-hmm.
And what are our human emotions around that?
Yeah.
And what are their dog emotions?
Yeah.
Not that we know everything about dogs, but eventually, you know, like I said, it was time limited. It was maybe a week that Mocha was very vocal. And then now she's pretty much the best crate dog you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
I don't even have to tell her. I just tap on the top of the crate and she runs in and
yeah.
she immediately lies down. And she never is vocal in the crate. Like I said, in hotel rooms, it's like her signal that she can shut off and
mm-hmm.
not be
yeah.
a hard dog. And it's wonderful. So once the puppies get over the hump of the crate training process,
yeah.
then
yeah.
You just have to stick with it for that little hard period. And
yeah.
then it's a wonderful tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Caroline, our Spinoni, who's just incredible, was a nightmare to crate train. Like, the first dog that I've ever had that has been a nightmare, to the point that I think Chris even got her out of the crate and put her in bed with us. And that's like my biggest no-no. And then that just made things worse. And then he also got her out and put her in a little dog bed. And that made crate training worse, you know, but you just get frustrated and not listening, you know, you just don't want to listen to him and you feel bad. And I mean, she was terrible. And so I think the important thing is understanding, you know, why crate train your puppies, you know, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and also understanding maybe where some of the emotion comes from when you get your puppy. And so let's talk about, you know, the puppies are in their litter, they're with the breeder, they're with their moms, and then it's kind of a weird, what I've experienced is when breeders in general right now in this culture that they wean the puppies off of their moms somewhere between 6, 7, and 8 weeks old, they are over the top human exposure. So they're taken away from their dog mom, and the people kick in fiercely. And so the puppies aren't learning independence. They are just weaned from nursing. And then we pick up this cute little puppy that's been exposed to people, and it's great, and they love you. And then we come home and put them in a crate where they're isolated and away from everything. So there's going to be some crying. There's going to be some, I don't know what to do because I'm all alone, and I've had direction this whole time. When to sleep, when to eat, human affection, all of that. And if you don't crate train them or create that separation, I'm seeing more and more anxiety around the dogs being away from their people. Even dogs can't be outside by themselves. It's so frantic for them because we don't create that separation with them. So you have to understand, you know, how and where they came from and what their most important imprinting time is up to 8 weeks. And that's what they know. So it's your job as a dog parent to create the independence, to create the separation, and to make that crate a very safe place for them to be, and that it is okay to be away from us, so that when we do wean them out of the crate, it's okay to be away from us. I can go to work. I can go to the store. I can go do the things that I need to do, and my dog's going to be fine mentally being home alone. So when your puppy is crying, one thing is to cover the crate completely up, even the front, so that it takes away any stimulation. So it decreases the duration of the crying. But also, when you have to go back into the room that they're in, they're not going to get rewarded for seeing you. They know you're there. You can't be quiet. You can't just open the door quietly. They know you're there, but they're not getting the visual stimulation of you coming back in because I cried for you and now you came back in. So then when you come back in, and you can either, I mean, there's so many different things to do, but you cannot ignore the crying. You cannot ignore the crying, because to me, I think it's one of the meanest things to let your puppy sit in duress and be that stressed out for hours. It's just, to me, like I wouldn't set my child up for that. You know, they're very stressed, very stressed, very stressed. Oh, stay in it until you're calm. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And it's really hard on them to have to work it out by themselves when they don't know how or what they're supposed to do. So if we take a look at it from a dog's perspective, if a puppy or a dog is misbehaving in their pack, they're going to get disciplined in some way. You're either being too rowdy, or you're not, you're being too vocal and you're attracting other animals that might kill us, or you're making all of our food sources go away because you're being loud. And so that's how we have to think of it, not from a human standpoint. We can't say it's okay, you're going to be okay, because they don't understand that, that emotion or that coddling from us, where a human child does understand that. But the dogs don't. So what we have to say is, your crying doesn't help us survive. It scares the food away. It brings attention to us, and that's not how we survive. So you have to think of it from that perspective. And when you come in to discipline them, you know, first I go, ah, 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 that's enough. So I'm given a verbal grumble, let's not do that. And I leave. And sometimes I'll fake leave, where I head to the door, open the door, close the door, I'm still in there. They still know, they still smell you, but it's then I'm not heading down to go do something. I'm kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. So then if they grumble, I can immediately, or they cry, then I can immediately grumble back. Ah, 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 it's enough. So I'll typically do the same correction twice, before I up the level. So the third time I may go over and I tap the crate, but it's not a tap for attention. It's kind of a pop, pop, pop. That's enough. So now my correction becomes a bit more stern. Stop doing that. That's enough. Then I'll leave and come back. If they continue, I'm going to do that same thing again. Pop the crate. Ah, ah, ah. See if they settle. Go away. Even in the middle of the night, you guys, I know how difficult it is, but you have to address it. It needs to be addressed. So then if that's not working, then I may do a couple of things. I may turn a TV on. I may turn some white noise on. I may turn some music on. Is that going to help settle you? I'm still going to correct, but then I may add something to help settle. I may spray some lavender spray over the cover of their crate. If that doesn't work, then I'll use a subsonic sound box that goes right in front of their crate so that now that's giving the correction for the vocalization. It's not just in the room. It's right up close, right to the door. You're going to get corrected if you make a peep. It doesn't work for every dog, but it is a tool. I don't get too wrapped up in when I come home and the dog is being vocal. I just get them outside. I don't make a big deal about waiting till they're quiet and, you know, like just come in and get them out. They need to go potty and they're excited and that's okay right now. But you have to act on it and you have to up your levels to do so. If it's not about every 2 hours getting up and taking your puppy out to go to the bathroom, I would prefer that the puppy had an accident in the crate so they learn. That's not going to get you out either. I've had some puppies that when I've come into, you know, had consultations with people, the puppy will go to the bathroom to get out of the crate. Literally, you see the behavior happening that they're like, if you're not going to get me out for crying, you'll get me out for going to the bathroom. And so they're not stupid. I mean, they figure this out. So I would rather, you're going to have an accident in your crate because they are old enough to hold it at 6 weeks to sleep through the night. They sleep through the night. So, even having a litter of puppies on my own and having the camera on, they sleep through the night. I mean, mom's not feeding them through the night. I mean, after about day three, everybody's sleeping. And so they can sleep through the night without having an accident. So you want to say, you know what? And I'm sorry. I know I'm going to have to get up in the morning and wash the puppy. And there's been many of those. But you just work through that. And they start realizing that there is nothing that's going to get them out of the crate. And it becomes a happy place, feeding them in it, giving them something to chew in it when I'm just, you know, not... Maybe I'm just running to the grocery store. Sometimes I'll give them a little, you know, tendon or, you know, something that they can chew on. Most of the time they don't chew on it, but it's like, this is your home. This is what we're doing. And the crate mimics your home. So we feed in there. Here's something to chew on in there. But at nighttime, no water, no nothing, no toys, nothing. When you're gone, you know, to work, no nothing in there. If I'm, you know, have company, maybe that's the time that I give them something to chew on in their crate. You have to act on the vocalization. You have to understand that they just don't know what to do with it. And by getting them out or not putting them in there long enough, it doesn't teach them what to do with it.
Right. So I think, all of that is really helpful to go through, Joe. And I think that as someone who's gone through it, both ends of the spectrum with Oxford and Mocha, I think there are times that I experienced with Mocha, you know, where all of that just still she was crying. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I definitely questioned throughout, like, should I get her out mm-hmm. now? And just mm-hmm. like Chris, I mean, he's lived with how many dogs?
Yeah.
And he's been married to you for how many? I mean, he's not naive to dog training, to dogs.
Right.
You've had board and trains. You've crate trained like hundreds, thousands of dogs around Chris. So the fact that I think that just speaks to how some dogs are just... Mm-hmm. Make all of us question, like, are we doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And I think that this helps to think mm-hmm. about the what is the dog going through? And they're just trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your description of you don't want to let them just sit in worry and anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I guess the point is they're not in a cycle of anxiety in the beginning when they start to cry. They're just like, whoa, this is new. I don't have my puppy litter with me. I don't have my human, breeder humans with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have my mom with me. What in the world do I do? And so that's what they're expressing.
Yeah.
And so your sort of instruction to us is to help them redirect by explaining to them in the only way that humans can explain with vocal corrections and maybe with like a little pop on the crate or these these other things you've mentioned, like the subsonic bark corrector,
things. Mm-hmm.
that it's not the behavior is not helpful. And then I guess given that we know that there are listeners out there that are going to have the Mochas and the Carolines.
Yeah.
Is there, I know you had given me some direction and I can't even remember what it was because it was so long ago. Our little packs are so old now. Like there is a time limit. I think you generally
for
say
sure.
like Mocha, I mean, literally could just cry for, it felt like hours at a time.
Yeah.
So how do you recommend people balance that? Like not letting them sit in it, but also not because truly if you take them out every time they start crying, then that's a very good lesson for the puppy.
Yeah.
That all I have to do is start vocalizing and I get out of the crate. So you don't want to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I as you were talking through this, like I do remember our conversations and here's the next step. And this is where people go and say, okay, I'm just going to have a trainer crate train my dog because the next steps are not easy because in human beings, we nurture and coddle and want things to be okay, which is good. But for a dog, if we get them out and do that while they're crying, then they have learned that communication gets connection. And we absolutely don't want that. So what I do when I have dogs like that is I go get them out and I lay them on their side and I hold them on their side until they settle. It's very non-connective. It's not eye contact. It's not, I'm not like, yeah, you shut up, you rrr, and I'm getting mad and slamming them down the ground. I get them out abruptly. I lay them over on their side and say, that's enough. That's enough. You're fine. Wait for them to give a little, meaning their body relaxes in that position on their side. And then I pick them up and put them back in the crate, close the door, cover it up, and walk out again. If they do it again, it's the same thing. I get them out. The other things to think about is I'm going to do some mental, not physical, I'm going to do some mental training before I put them in their crate. How can I mentally tire them out so they just don't have it in them to cry? So before bedtime, you go out, you're going to have a playtime with them because we all play with our puppies in the evening. This is the best time to do it. And then I'm going to do some mental training, play outside to go potty, come back in, do some training sessions and really make them think about that training session. And maybe the play is not up and wind up kind of play, but we're going to go find little things around the house, smelling and exploring and checking things out. so that they're mentally tired. The other big thing that you'll see in all of our potty training, crate training, all of that in the videos is having them on a leash and with you where they don't have time to have these little cat naps with nothing going on. They're sleeping and resting with you. If you're doing the dishes, you know, they're usually laying down, but they're not crashed. And there's not the coddling and human. I'm not putting my puppy to sleep, if you will, like with humans where we rock them and we feed them and we relax them and then put them in their cribs, where the puppies, we don't want that nurturing piece to put them to bed. We want them to just like, oh, I'm just really happy to be in my crate because I would like to sleep now. So I don't want you to physically run your puppies to death. I want some mental stimulation that they're mentally tired, so they'll get in their crate and they sleep. So with Mocha, I remember we would get her out and work her, very abruptly work her. Like, you're going to sit, we're going to down. And it was not like, oh, here's treats and we're going to do that. It was a very abrupt, like, this is how we're going to do this. And so you can either be in your crate or we're going to work.
Yeah.
You're going to come out of your crate and you're going to settle in a very, you know, again, it's not aggressive and mean and dominant. It's just, it's non-connective. It's non-emotional.
And not coddling, I think.
Yeah.
I think that is something to say, like, in that on your side position,
mm-hmm.
You're not like stroking the dog and massaging. And
no.
It's more just like, hold. This you need to settle.
Yeah.
Let me show you how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a hard piece. It's that tough love piece that that you have to, 2 o'clock in the morning, here we are sitting up, you know, half asleep in your pajamas, holding your puppy on their side. And you go back to bed. And an hour later, you come back and do the same thing. Typically, it's 3 days.
Yeah.
Caroline, I think it took us a good week and a half to get her settled in her crate.
And Mocha was somewhere between a week and a week and a half.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'll just say again to listeners that are struggling with this, it feels really difficult.
Yeah.
But once it passes, then you have a crate trained dog and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's really, really worth it. And I think for everything that Joe has mentioned with the separation, heading off separation anxiety by giving them this independence, it's really worthwhile and valuable to go through.
Yeah.
And if I'll say as a plug for our course, we've got a great course on crate training and potty training. Mm-hmm. And in that course, we have a really detailed puppy schedule that gets at what Joe was just talking about in terms of training and activities to do. It's not overwhelming. I did it while working full time as a very busy pediatrician. So it's not something that the average person who has a job cannot accomplish.
Yeah.
But it does accomplish what Joe was mentioning in terms of keeping the puppy awake and active and thinking and stimulated, whether it's physically or mentally or both. And then their crate time becomes their very desired quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found pretty quickly that both of my puppies, when put on that schedule, they seem to really value that quiet time. Like, oh, okay, now I can just relax.
Yeah.
And then that transfers, as I said, to them as adults.
They
seem to, you know, I can't ask them in English, but they show no problems with going in their crates, and they just lie down, and I'm confident they're asleep.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty much any time that we go in there, they don't even make a noise.
Yeah.
I mean, even like a little tail wag. So
Yeah. I mean, Caroline is hardly ever in a crate. I mean, hardly ever in a crate. So the times that she goes in her crate are typically when she's been out ranching and she's just filthy and not gonna come in the house until she gets groomed and cleaned up. And she still just happily runs right in, lays down, and, you know, it's fine. So it really is, you know, you just got to get through the hump, and a week and a half, you got to stick with it. Don't ignore. I, a lot of people will say ignore. A lot of trainers will say just ignore. And ignoring condones behavior. And I feel for these puppies that they're trying to work through something that they don't really know what they're supposed to do. They're waiting for where the boundary is. They're waiting for that discipline because that's what they've had all along. And then you got to help them out. And that's what they're needing. We may not, you know, they may need to be here. This is how you settle. Or we're going to get out and work you. Like you're going to sit, I'm going to mold those behaviors. I'm going to shape them by, touching and sitting and then putting them in a sit and putting them in a down. And, you know, I'm going to, my hands are on them and I'm making them do these things in a very kind way, but not loving, coddling. Oh, sit. You know, I'm going to be, nope, you're going to sit and you're going to lay down. And nope, now you're going to roll over to your side. And now we're going to sit. And now, and they go, this is not why I was crying. You're like, oh, okay. Well, then you can go back in your crate and they will start, you'll start seeing behaviors like, no, I'm quiet now. I'm fine. We don't need to do that. So you got to stick with it. You got to help them understand it and not let them just cry it out. It's to me, that's heartbreaking from every time I hear it, like, don't ignore it. It's so stressful for them to get that wound up. And screaming that loud, that's stress. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to do that to our puppies when we can discipline them through the eyes of another dog. Yep. in a very kind way that makes sense to them.
Yeah. And then the flip side of that is don't give up on it.
Don't
just
give up.
Because your puppy is crying doesn't mean they don't like their crate.
Right.
Which is another thing we hear, like, oh, I couldn't crate, you know, they're not crate.
They don't like it.
They never liked the crate.
Yeah.
Just push through this little short period.
Yeah.
Be consistent. Know that there's really good things to come on the other end.
Yeah.
It'll help with potty training. It'll help with house manners.
Yep.
And it'll help with pretty much every single aspect of training.
It does. That's the number one thing with any behavioral problems is, you know, if they're not crate trained, they get crate trained. And I can tell you, you know, 25 years of training dogs, I have never had one that I haven't been able to crate train. So you can do it. You can stick through. Our videos are very detailed and good with it. So, and you can ask us questions.
Yeah.
So stick with it because it's possible.